Welcome to Brave Together podcast here on UK Health Radio, an empowering resource for the parents of children with disabilities, neurodivergence, and all unique needs.
It's okay. There's a time and place for like discipline and learning and pushing yourself. But even that can be done under the realm of self-compassion. The way we talk to ourselves matters. The way that we problem solve matters. And life is going to be way more enjoyable if you learn to access self-compassion instead of this like sort of like pushy critical voice that we all have inside of us as well.
Well, that's what I wake up with every day, actually.
She's there. She's strong. She's doing fine.
Hi and hello, Bravies. It's me, Susanna Peace Lavelle, Brave Mom, author, coach, and one of the dedicated co-hosts for the Brave Together podcast. Today, I am so happy to share this conversation with you all. I'm talking to Amanda Griffith Atkins to discuss the inspiration behind her book, How to Handle More Than You Can Handle, Caring for Yourself While Raising a Disabled Child. I mean, everything that we need and more. I felt that this book is such a sweet companion to the caregiving journey, and I can't wait for you all to immerse yourself into this particular gift from Amanda to us. A little bit more about her. Amanda Griffith Atkins is a licensed marriage and family therapist. She is also the founder of Amanda Atkins Counseling Group in Chicago. She is also an in-demand speaker, author, guest lecturer. Her book is available anywhere books or audiobooks are sold. Just a quick reminder here to join our free community at wearebravetogether.org. Also, if you can support our growth by rating and reviewing this podcast and sharing episodes that inspire you, resonate with you. And of course, please check out our full episodes weekly on the We Are Brave Together YouTube channel. You guys, Amanda and I had such a delicious and easy conversation. It was like talking to a girlfriend at the coffee shop, truly. She is a friend of the podcast, has been a guest twice before. We could not enjoy her more. Please see links to her previous episodes in the show notes, as well as more information on how to find her and all of her amazing work that she's doing in this world. And now, please enjoy my conversation with the relatable, honest, vulnerable, and super fun Amanda Griffith Atkins. So, hi, Amanda. It's so good to see you again.
I'm so happy to be here, as always.
Hello, Bravies out there who are listening. You all are in for a super duper treat today. And Amanda has actually been on our podcast last season for another episode. I sort of like bogarted my way into solo hosting this particular episode because you had mentioned your book coming out in the future on our last episode that we were all together. And now that it's here and in my hands, I mean, I'm like, it's just this tangible goodness that is so applicable to so many of us on this journey, as you know, as you are also on the same journey. So I just want to start off with, you know, today we're going to talk to Amanda Griffith Atkins, and she is many things. She wears many, many hats. But today in particular, we'd love to talk about her recent publishing of How to Handle More Than You Can Handle, Caring for Yourself While Raising a Disabled Child. And I, you know, feel like there are so many layers to even the title. So I want to jump into it. But for those of you Bravey listeners out there who do not know of Amanda yet, I would just love, Amanda, if you could just give a quick little bio of yourself and a little snapshot of your day-to-day, today, presently, right now, and in the moment.
Yeah. Well, I'm mom to three boys. Oldest is Asher, and he has a disability, Prader-Willi syndrome, which I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with. And as I mentioned, he's 16. I also have a 13-year-old son, Silas, and then an 8-year-old son, Jasper. And I live in Chicago. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist and owner and founder of Amanda Atkins Counseling Group, which is here in Chicago. And we have about 28 therapists there on my team that I work with. So when I'm not, you know, doing book stuff. All my attention is mostly with work. I have a lot going on. That's a whole busy beast in and of itself. But as of late, and really for the past 4 years, give or take, I've been spending a lot of my energy on writing this book. And the book has just been such a journey of love for me. I mean, good days and bad days with it, but really wanting to put this resource out for parents of kids with disabilities to talk about the hard things, talk about the hard parts of parenting that I feel like we're not often able to give voice to. As far as what life looks like right now for me, it's really kind of like an even divide of motherhood, work, and then sort of this work slash passion project of writing this book and all that's come from that. So I feel so grateful that I've been able to kind of be a bit of a voice for parents of kids with disabilities to speak about the hard stuff. It's definitely feels like such a part of my identity that I feel really proud of.
Yeah, well, we are equally grateful to you, Amanda. As I was saying, you know, as we first got on to record this episode, I was just saying, wow, one more thing. It's sort of a bittersweet thing. Like for me now, as a parent of a disabled child who is 19, it's bittersweet in that I'm like, I'm so grateful and happy and excited about this offering. And I really, speaking of feelings, because you talk so much about, you know, the invitation to feel in this book, I'm feeling a little bit of an ouchie, to be honest, because I'm feeling so much compassion for my sort of younger self who just received a diagnosis, which, by the way, you know, took some time to do. So I'm feeling like I'm so happy for everyone who is able to access this book now, especially if you're in the throes of the early beginnings and the new information and the jargon of medical terms that you might not understand. I just wanted to say that and really just expressing so much gratitude for this work. What I'm curious about, and I know you mentioned, you know, the last couple of years have been, you know, this labor of love, I'm sure, in this project of yours. Can you tell our listeners how you decided to write this book in the first place?
Yeah, well, I, you know, started my Instagram just honestly as like an outlet. I wanted to give voice to these hard feelings. I wanted to see if it resonated with people. I wanted to see if, you know, some days I felt like a terrible mom. You know, I would have these thoughts and feelings and post something on Instagram. And before I knew it, you know, I had 100 followers, 1,000 followers, and now we're coming up on almost 30,000 followers. And I would post something that I would be like, I don't know if this is going to resonate with people. And just so many voices would chime in and be like, oh my gosh, you read my mind, or I was just feeling that, or, you know, I needed to read this today. And I swear, like, as much as other people get out of it, I get exactly the same too, because I'm so validated that I'm not alone in this. And so when I first started the Instagram account, I realized like, wow, there's such a need for a space where we can say our feelings without judgment, where we can say our feelings without shame. And I also felt as a therapist that I did have, you know, the education and training to hold space for this in a way that was actually therapeutic. You know, I wanted it to be
right,
not just moms complaining, but where we could find support, where we could find community, where we could brainstorm solutions. And sometimes the solution is simply, you're not alone. I've been through that. DM me and, you know, we'll chat about it. And so as I noticed the like Instagram community growing and the message really resonating with people, I started to pull out a lot of themes that it felt like were really profound in my life, but also in everybody in my followers' lives. And that's when I was like, you know, this book has to be written. And I don't think there's anything that sets me apart special to be the person that wrote it. I just think I'm the one that did it. And, you know, it is hard to get a book deal. And I say this with such humility, but when my agent pitched me to get offers, I ended up getting 3 offers for this book from 3 different publishers. And again, that's not because of me. That's because the book needed to be written. Like, there was a big hole at the bookstore shelf when it came to parents of kids with high support needs disabilities and our emotional experience, right? There's a million books on, I always say, how to attend an IEP meeting or how to advocate for your child or really specific diagnoses, you know, autism or Down syndrome. But even within those niches, there's not so much books on the parent experience, the caregiver experience of grief, and that sort of like perennial reoccurring grief that pops up with each new developmental stage that the child is in. You know, what you know, I know this, what we're grieving now is different from what we were grieving when our children were newborns or when they were in grade school. What you're grieving right now as the mom to a 19-year-old is actually quite different even from what I'm grieving as the mom to a 16-year-old, right? Because the 18-year-old, that guardianship, that time when other kids are going off to college, all of that, you know. And so I wanted a companion for parents to be able to pull it out. Maybe you don't read the whole thing. Maybe you're not ready. You know, maybe your child is, you just got your diagnosis and you're like, I am not ready to read that chapter on adulthood. Okay. You know, you pull that book out, you read the chapters that apply to you, you tuck it away. And when you're ready and when you need it, I hope that, you would pull the book out and read it again. So that really the way I designed the book was I wanted it to be a companion, not necessarily a sit down and read it cover to cover. I've heard a lot of feedback that that feels like too much for some people. It feels too overwhelming, you know, when with your newborn to be thinking about what am I going to do when my daughter starts her period? Or what, you know, how are we going to sit in her house? Contraception, right? Like these really terrifying ideas that you don't want to be facing when you're holding your, you know, 3-month-old baby.
Okay. But I will say this though, Amanda, I was that mom who was like, what am I going to do when she gets her period? I was, well, when she was diagnosed at 2.5, I was like, all of these things. And I'm just understanding. And because I couldn't, it was so, my work was to just be so present in each moment. And it was very challenging for me to stay present in this moment and what is real and true for me and my daughter, Arizona, right now in this moment. She's covered head to toe in eczema, right?
Absolutely.
Has nothing to do with the autism she was diagnosed with, right? It has nothing to do with all these other little side dishes and pieces along the way.
We are going to take a brief break. Stay with us.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, brave friends.
But speaking about your book and your sort of intention for it to be able to be a companion, it is such a perfect descriptor. And I love, what I love so much is how you broke it up into 3 different parts. Mm-hmm. And I feel like all of the chapters are so easily digestible. You share, you know, sort of anecdotal stories of you and Escher and you talking to parents and things like that. And I just feel like that makes the book flow so much more in a sort of a familiar and comforting way to the reader, especially I can imagine a mom who has a newly diagnosed child.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about the 3 sections of your book and you know, how that came about for you in terms of creating this companion for our community.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I haven't heard a lot of authors talk about, is when you're writing a book and you have a vision for it, how do you divide it in a way that makes sense to the reader? And that really was a challenge for me, because I wanted it to feel, like you said, easily accessible, consumable. I didn't want people to feel overwhelmed by it. I wanted it to be very clear what the reader was going to get out of each section. And so part one is parent meets kid. Part two is kid meets world. And part three is taking care of yourself. And so it felt important to sort of have these three distinctions of where the book was going. Because part one is, okay, you have an infant, most likely, right? We're talking, these are the early days. This is if your child was in the NICU, if you had to navigate the medical system, kind of everything that goes into having a little one. And again, it's all presented under the kind of the concept of the parent's emotional experience, right? So all of these things that we're talking about, we're looking at through the lens of, okay, when your child comes home from the NICU, as the parent, what are you feeling? You know, how are you impacted by this? Not necessarily, right, like I said earlier, tips and tricks to survive, you know, coming home from the NICU. It's all under the lens of the parent's emotional experience. And so then part two, kid meets world. I love this section. And honestly, this was the hardest section for me to write, I think, because I'm in it so much right now. And this chapter is all about sort of that, or this section includes three chapters. It's all about that sort of misconception or struggle for independence, I would say, and how for our kids that looks a lot different from other kids. The goal is not always independence. Independence oftentimes for our children cannot be achieved, right? And so it's that idea of interdependence, or even just accepting independence. In fact, today I was at the pool with Asher. I just posted something online about this, but I was at the pool with Asher, and he's now able to stand in the pool by himself, and I can sit in a chair and like read my book. I was like, wow, I have arrived. Like, it really felt like, okay, he can enjoy himself over there. I'm not worried about him getting in trouble. He's not a risk taker, so I'm not worried about him jumping underwater or anything. And I can sit in my chair and read my book, and we can exist for an hour like this. That's what independence looks like.
Wow. Right.
Yeah. And that was actually a really special experience for me. And he loved it and I loved it. And I noticed myself being like, okay, this feels new. This feels like independence for us. Whereas in the past, I would need to be right by him, holding on to him. Yeah. And so part of this too is like celebrating what independence looks like for you and your child, and taking it where you can. And that also includes the puberty chapter, which is, it was a tough one to write. It's a tough one to read, I think, because it really confronts a lot of difficult positions that we're in. And we have to really check our mindset on how we're navigating this. And then the final chapter in that section is reaching adulthood, which that was one of my favorite chapters to write, because the parents that I interviewed, it just felt like such a breath of fresh air to interview parents that were way further down the line than I was, and be like, okay, like it felt reassuring in some ways. You know, their perspective had changed. They're a little more kind of maybe a little more understanding, a little more forgiving, kind of felt like they'd come through it in a lot of ways. And then the last section of the book, which really is kind of like this is the part of the book that I feel the most proud of, that I really want parents to spend the most time on, is called Taking Care of Yourself. And this is the part of the book where it really all comes back to us as the parent. It's more like, okay, we're in the aftermath of this earthquake. Where are you? Where are you as the parent? And that's facing your anxiety, which was an interesting chapter, because initially when I wrote the book, anxiety was just kind of sprinkled throughout the whole book. And as I was sitting down and really fleshing through it with my editor, we kind of were like, we need a whole chapter on anxiety, because it's everywhere in the book. Yeah, it's huge. So anxiety, yes. Caring for your marriage, growing your family, and a whole you. And those kind of felt like these chapters that needed to be written, that really spoke to like, what are our core struggles as parents of disabled kids, and how does this either really ruin our life if we're not able to, you know, co-parent correctly or work through our emotions, or really enhance our lives if we're able to really co-parent and all of the other things in a way that's really productive and helpful and self-aware. So yeah, that's sort of the thought. That was a very long answer for your question on what was the thought of the book, but I appreciate you asking that, because there was a lot of thought that went into kind of how the book was set up.
Yeah. And I can imagine that I actually was with a colleague earlier this morning, and I was holding on to your book because I was just carrying it around because I knew we were going to be talking today. And she's like, oh, great. Can I have that? And I was like, absolutely not.
No.
It's on Amazon, by the way. But I was, you know, because she has a newly diagnosed son who is not even three yet. And she's just, you know, looking for just, you know, a touch point, right? A lifeline. And, you know, here she is asking me tons of questions, by the way, over the last 2 years, 1 year. And I'm like, well, here's what my experience was. But I also know that my experience, you know, raising a disabled child is not going to be the same as the next parent raising a disabled child. It's just a fact. And having some sort of roadmap or blueprint or guideline for anything, I mean, that just feels like an exhale. When Sharon sent this to me in the mail, I just opened it and I kind of screeched a little bit because, first of all, it's just, it even, you know, presents so like caring and loving and cherishing in the hand. And I don't know, I just had such a strong reaction to everything about it, probably because of my strong reaction to you as a human being. By the way, I reposted one of your, you know, brilliant quotes that you had in one of your stories, and I reposted it. And it was something about as a parent of a disabled child and then fill in the blank, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I had people respond, and a friend of mine who's a parent but does not have disabled children was like, well, I would consider that's true for all parents, right? And I was thinking, sure, yes. In this particular, you know, quote from Amanda, sure, yes. Mm-hmm. And then I just started thinking about, and you talk about it too, in terms of this toxic positivity where people will come and, you know, talk about, well, you should be so grateful.
Yeah.
And, you know, at least your child fill in the blank. And I had this quick little episode at the airport not too long ago when I was traveling with Arizona. And, you know, if she's just sort of standing there for a minute, it appears that there is an invisible disability, right? And even though she's 19, people might be like, oh, that's like a 13-year-old child with their mom just standing there, right? And so I was, as always, advocating at the ticket counter for some assistance or extra support. And so the agent at the counter was just saying, okay, so, you know, maybe if you can explain a little bit more. And I just said, well, you know, my child has disabilities. Here are some of the things that sensory stuff, all kinds of, anyway, I was explaining, over explaining. And he was like, wow, you know, and just kind of that sad face, you know, wow, that must be so hard, but at least she's mobile. You know what I mean? And I'm like, well, sure. Right?
Yes, you're right.
I guess you're right. And so can you talk a little bit more about toxic positivity? How should we respond? How can we educate? How can we, how can I respond in those moments that feels like I'm spreading advocacy for others as well?
Yeah, it's so interesting to me even hearing that story, because it's like this stranger at the airport, and it sounds like that was his job, right? He was like worked for the airline.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Like, absolutely.
This is your job, sir. Like it. And I feel like what was happening is he felt uncomfortable as you were talking about your daughter's disability, which you weren't doing it to make him feel bad, or you were literally doing it to just simply check the box, get the resources you needed, and move on. You weren't crying. You weren't, you know, we're really having a hard day. You were simply stating the facts. And that just is mind-blowing to me how still in the year 2025, somebody cannot just hear that and say, okay, thank you for sharing that information. Sounds like so we can get you some extra resources. Here's what we can do, X, Y, and Z. Like, what is the need for the platitude of, like you know, can we just sit with hard information? Can we just sit with a little bit of discomfort and just say, I don't need to fix this. I don't need to try and make you feel better. You know, I can just sit here. This is a disabled person. And I can just sit here and say, great, thanks for sharing that information. Let's get you what you need, right? Okay. And so to me, the thing about that story that stands out to me is just in general, our culture's inability to sit with pain or even perceived pain. Like you aren't even expressing pain in that moment, but that person just didn't know how to respond to you saying these things that made them feel uncomfortable. Not even
yes.
you.
Yep.
Right. And this idea of like,
that's right.
Oh, at least she's mobile. You know, like what? Like, I guess it's like, what are you supposed to say? I mean, I appreciate that person's effort to try and bring some levity. I understand what they were feeling. I don't want to villainize them, but also it just to me speaks to the louder issue in our society, which is that we are bad as a culture at sitting with hard emotions.
Yeah,
we are bad with just simply holding space for difficult things and not trying to platitude it away, right? Like, and so, yeah, I mean, I'm curious what you did in that situation. My guess is you probably just said, yeah, that's right. Kind of like, give me what I need so that we can move on and get away from this. I don't know that you had the bandwidth to explain. I'm not sure.
And now let's take a quick break to hear about one of our generous sponsors. This episode is sponsored by Undivided. Undivided brings expertise, technology, and community together to support parents raising kids with disabilities. Through their innovative digital platform, families gain access to an AI-powered IEP assistant, step-by-step guides, a digital binder to upload and share documents, a vast library of articles and videos, and an organized system to track and accomplish priorities. Parents can also get personalized support through virtual Q&A sessions with experts in public benefits, insurance, and special education, as well as one-to-one parent coaching. Undivided is a fantastic resource for families. When you are in the beginning or the middle of your journey in altered parenthood, and you are seeking answers and experts, Undivided is that for you.
Well, I didn't have the bandwidth to explain, but also since I was right there with Arizona, yeah. I didn't want to raise her awareness around now people are talking about you
yes.
Being disabled, and she could absolutely understand that conversation. And I'm not sure what her reaction would have been. So yeah, no bandwidth for that. I'm like, we need to get on the plane. And
exactly.
If we could maybe get on with the families that need some extra time, that would yes. just be fantastic. That's it, sir. That's it. Thank you very much. So, you know, I'm curious also about this idea where, like you said, like there's this initial reaction. And again, still in 2025, you just talk about, you know, I'm an author. And what do you do? Oh, I'm an advocate for disability families. You know, I introduce that. Oh, you know, I'm an author. I wrote this book. Oh, really? Oh, great. Great. What was your inspiration? Okay, well, I have a daughter who is disabled. She has myriad diagnoses. And then there's always the just, I am so sorry.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I am not. And, you know, I can understand why you might feel that way toward me, but I am actually not sorry, you know, yeah. And I say it exactly like that. And, you know, it just, but I, you know, it's kind of like when I got divorced, you know, 10, 12 years ago, and people would be like, I am so sorry. And I was like, yeah, it was a very challenging time and sure. I'm good. Right.
It was the right choice. That's right.
It was the right choice. It was the right choice. All is good.
Yeah, exactly.
Right now in this moment, thank you very much. Can I please move on? Can I please
Correct.
Move on?
Don't feel sorry for me. Don't feel sorry.
Please don't feel sorry for me.
Stay with us, Bravies. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Brave Together podcast.
So I want to be able to just jump into this taking care of ourself piece as parents, as mothers, as caregivers. You talk a lot about stigma, shame, fear, guilt around this. I also really want to, if you could weave this into your answer, your response in terms of, oh, well, you know, people think, well, yeah, you work so hard, right? You work so hard caregiving for your high support needs kiddo. And so, and then therefore, that is why, that is the reason that you need to take care of yourself. And you're saying, no.
Yeah.
And so can you just address like part three of your book, please?
Yeah, absolutely. All
of it. And then.
Yeah, you just had the perfect takeaway. And it thrills me as the person who wrote this book that you gathered that from reading it. Because that is exactly, you know, I say that rhetoric of, you know, take care of yourself, you owe it to your child. Like, we hear that all the time, right? And to me, that is just perpetuating this idea that everything that we do has to be for our child. And I am here to say that that is faulty thinking. You are allowed to take care of yourself because you deserve to be taken care of as a human, as a parent, completely away from being the parent of a child with a disability. You have value and deserve to experience joy and pleasure and happiness and sadness and grief and the whole spectrum separate from your child, you know? And I think that this is what I would hope, honestly, all parents, because, you know, you don't have to be a parent of a disabled child to find your identity through your child. And I don't even want to say that that's inherently wrong, but it wasn't right for me. That's all I can say, is that I never wanted my identity to be, oh, I'm the parent of a child with a disability. You know, that is a big, important part of my identity, but it's not all of it. And for me to be reduced to that would be missing out on all these other things in my life that bring me joy, you know, horses, music, being around my friends, traveling, being in the mountains, being in nature, swimming, like all of those things are things that bring me joy and are important parts of my life. And they don't necessarily revolve around my children. And so I think it's so easy as parents of disabled children, it's so easy for our identity to be based on how well they're doing, how many therapies they're in, you know, how involved are we with their syndrome or their diagnosis? How much money are we raising? Again, all of these things are hugely important, and we wouldn't be where we are without the people that do all of this stuff. And this is an important part of being an advocate and an ally, but it can't be all of our personality. And you know, I think about things like whether it's marriage, whether it's the decision to have more children, friendships, you know, all of these things are impacted by disability. And it's okay for us to reclaim that space as individuals. You know what I'm saying? Not just parents, period, I would say.
Yes. No, I have always had this feeling like it should be. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I don't feel like I always have access to be able to truly take care of myself in this particular moment, for example. Yes. Although I do quest, you know, it is my intention daily to find little, you know, snippets of joy, yes, which I consider, you know, self-care, soul care, whatever you want to call it. And I agree with you, Amanda. I believe that this is every single person on this earth's birthright, mm-hmm, to experience, to access. And I know that, you know, there are so many different ways that we as extreme caregivers, or whatever you want to call it. See, it's so hard to even say that, because I want to say that, you know, I have one daughter who has very specific and daily, hourly needs. And, you know, there might be a mom out there who has 12 children and, you know, whatever it is, right? And so I just feel like another sort of theme in your book, which I totally responded to, and I apologize. I wish we could be talking for 4 hours, but
I know, right? I feel that.
Just because I want to know more. I want to know more. I just feel like, you know, you talk about compassion so much. And I feel like I have just recently, over the last 2 to 3 years, been not only working so hard on exercising compassion for myself, and also as I'm out in the world, you know, and, you know, someone is honking their horn at me, or they are upset that Arizona is daydreaming in the middle of the grocery store aisle. And, you know, they see that she's a certain height and probably looks like she's a teenager and rolling their eyes and all of these things. And I just have started to, instead of like being so upset about their response, like, ugh, you have no idea, sir. You know what I mean? Or whatever. You're so ignorant. Yeah. Is to have compassion for that person who is unable to have, you know, I just feel like there's this cyclical world of compassion that we have access to, like it's free, right? It doesn't cost anything. And yet it is still such a huge practice and something that I frankly don't think that we talk about enough in this world. And so if you could talk a little bit about your relationship with compassion and why you brought that also into the forefront of this book.
Well, I love what you said about it's free. It's free. It's something that we can access at any time. And it really does make the world a better place. There's a time, in fact, Kristen Neff, the person who kind of coined the term mindful self-compassion, she has a concept called fierce compassion as well. And fierce compassion is more of that kind of mama bear, you know, kind of maybe more likely to say something maybe more assertive towards somebody. I think what we're talking about right now is more of a gentle compassion. And it really, really begins with self-compassion. I've noticed when I can offer it to myself, I'm able to offer it to other people. And when other people offer it to me, I can offer it to myself more freely. And, you know, what does this look like in the real world? Exactly what you're saying. It might also look like, you know, I had something I had to show up to this morning and I ended up being 20 minutes late because I got the time mixed up. And I was annoyed with myself. I was like, man, I'm so bad with scheduling. Like, I got to figure this stuff out. Like, this is not my strength. And then I was like, it's okay. Everything went fine. Yes, it was. I do need to work on scheduling. That is something that I need to develop some more skills in. And I'm not going to let it define me. It is what it is. It's okay. You know, and just that subtle shift of going from like, oh my gosh, I'm so bad at this to like, I need to improve in this area. And it's totally fine. Like, I wrote a book. Like, it's fine. You know, like, sometimes I want to remember the things that we did do right, right?
Right. No, I mean, we should be exempt for everything from now on forever.
Truly. Good point.
But the first thing I thought of when you were talking about the 20 minutes and missing the schedule and whatever else, I was like, yeah. And she's at the pool reading with Asher. Standing by himself on his own.
That's forever. You get it.
Forever and a day.
Yes.
That matters. What matters, right?
Yeah.
That sort of just even like flicker of independence, like even having, I get you so much, Amanda. Okay, 20 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. I didn't go to a cousin's birthday party yesterday because it was so far away. It's okay. At the end of the day, it's totally fine. Arizona had her period and was so tired and lethargic. She didn't want to sit in the car. I get it. And if I checked in with me, neither did I.
Correct.
Right?
That's right. That's compassion. That's self-compassion. That's
right.
That's just checking in and being like, it's okay. There's a time and place for like discipline and learning and pushing yourself. But even that can be done under the realm of self-compassion. The way we talk to ourselves matters. The way that we problem solve matters. And life is going to be way more enjoyable if you learn to access self-compassion instead of this like sort of like pushy critical voice that we all have inside of us as well.
Well, that's what I wake up with every day, actually.
She's there. She's strong. She's doing fine, though.
She is just like the energizer bunny. Like, there's no end in sight for that.
That's right.
So what would you like to see this book sort of doing and being in this world, in this universe? And then lastly, if you could just tell listeners how they can learn more about you.
Well, you know, I think when I got my book deal, the publisher said, like, this will not be like a New York Times bestseller. This is not the book that's going to out the gate sell a million copies. This is a book that's going to sell forever because there's always new parents that come into this community that need a resource. And as soon as I heard that, I knew my mission. Like, my mission was to write the book that can speak to people through the ages, like write the book that isn't trendy. It's not a quick fix. It's not a quick serotonin burst. You know, it really is a book that is in the trenches with you, that, you know, if you're sitting in the hospital bedside at your child's procedure, you can pull out this book and read the chapter on navigating the medical system. You know, people send me pictures of the book and it's highlighted, it's underlined, it's tattered already. And really what I want this book to be is like the friend that we all needed early on, the friend that we needed that could say, it makes sense that you're feeling this way. You're allowed to have all these feelings. And here are some helpful ways that you can honor these feelings and face them. It's not going to solve your feelings, but it's going to help you get through. It's going to help you get to tomorrow. It's going to help you wake up tomorrow morning and feel like you can do this again. And maybe eventually you'll actually even find some joy again in your life. Maybe again, you'll actually be able to get up and do something for you, right? And I think that's what I needed to hear. It's probably what you needed to hear early on. And my hope is that this book will do that for people for a long time. And it is just overwhelming when people DM me and tell me their thoughts or what stood out to them or, you know, a line that really stood out to them. Like, that's the most magical feeling. And so, yeah, that's my hope for the book. And people can find me mostly on Instagram. It's Amanda.Griffith.Atkins. And I also have a website, AmandaGriffithAtkins.com. And I also offer parent consultations. So parents can meet with me. Usually it's short term, up to 4 sessions, where we can just kind of, I sort of like liken it to anyone that's maybe afraid to start therapy. It's like a chance to sort of dip their toe in for a few sessions. And then part of what I do then is help them find a therapist in their insurance network, in their area. And so it's for the person that, you know, maybe feels really overwhelmed, doesn't have the bandwidth to search for a therapist. We all know how exhausting that can be. And then part of our process is helping them find someone if after those few sessions, they want to find someone more long-term. So these are kind of the services I'm offering right now. And I answer my DMs. Like, I won't be an online therapist, but I get DMs all the time where someone's like, I went to my niece's birthday party and now I'm sitting in the room crying because I remembered what it's like, what your typical 7-year-old is like. And I'm like, been there, hear you, totally appropriate to have those feelings. So yeah.
Absolutely fantastic and amazing. I love that this book can be our forever companion. And it is something that I will keep for myself because I will need it forever. And it will forever also be on my, you know, I'm going to just give you guys some tips and hints on what can help you along the journey. You'll need this. And I also had this idea that, and this might already be in progress, but has your publisher mentioned anything about having it written in different languages?
You know, that's in my contract, is that it is contracted to write in different languages. I'm curious what that looks like. But I know at one point they were talking about it because I get lots of DMs from all over the place. And most everyone's English speaking, but I would love for it to be translated. And something that I've really been working on is getting it in libraries. It's in a lot of libraries in the United States right now. And so I ideally want it to be accessible. I don't care if people buy it or get it from the library, whatever you need. So I'm hoping that it continues to be accessible. And I love the idea of translating it.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of some of my family and so forth. So, yeah. Well, Amanda, this was so amazing. I can't wait for our next conversation about whatever is next. And I will forever be a champion of your work. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you so much for the space that you create, too, and just for giving me the opportunity today.
Thanks so much for listening today on UK Health Radio. Do us a favor and leave us a review and a rating so that this podcast can get into the ears and the hearts of more and more moms. Did you know that Brave Together podcast is an extension of our nonprofit organization, We Are Brave Together? We Are Brave Together serves an international community of caregiving moms, offering support groups that are virtual and in person, educational resources, and low-cost weekend retreats, all over the United States. We've also published 2 books, our first anthology of caregiving stories entitled Becoming Brave Together, Heroic, Extraordinary Caregiving Stories from Mothers Hidden in Plain Sight, and our newest release, Suddenly Brave Together, Letters to Caregiving Moms at a Defining Moment in Their Lives. Both books offer stories of hope and transformation and encouragement and validation for every parent caregiver. To join us today, go to wearebravetogether.org. Our support and sisterhood awaits you. Brave Together podcast is for entertainment and education purposes only. It's not a substitute for professional care and should not be relied on for medical or mental health advice. The use of any content on our podcast, links, show notes, or on our website is to be done at your own personal risk. Please seek out a professional to assess your own medical or mental health concerns, because we are all beautifully complex and the content of this podcast is for a broad audience.